Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. It's Friday, May 15th, 2020. Every week we check in with Publishers Weekly for the latest news on books and reading. Today, Andrew Albanese, PW Senior Writer, joins me from his home office in New York City. Welcome to the program, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
So across the globe, the coronavirus pandemic persists, even while in many countries and several states here in America, governments are easing the terms of confinement for citizens and the restrictions on commerce. What's the situation where you are in Manhattan?
Well, we're still doing okay here, Chris. You know, we're happy and we're healthy. Our immediate family here is healthy. The good news here in New York is that, you know, as hard as we've been hit, we have done some really amazing work bending the curve. You know, after our hospitalizations rose to almost 3,500 new cases a day, we're now back down to just over 400 new cases a day. And that's about where we were when the pandemic started. In New York, we were facing an absolute catastrophe. And yet, because we all have seemed to have embraced these stay-at-home orders and the masks and the gloves and the distancing in grocery stores, we are, as our governor, Andrew Cuomo, has said, finally gotten ahead of the virus. So we're feeling pretty positive about that. Now, today's a bit of a milestone number. Today marks 60 days that we've been home. That's 2 months, 60 days working from home. Both my wife and me with the two kids in digital school, second grade boy and a fourth grade girl. And it has not been easy. You know, I say we're happy and healthy. Well, we could be happier. But, you know, on this benchmark, 60 days, it's not hard to think that this is a significant chunk of my kid's life. You know, I'm old. So, you know, 2 months is 2 months for me. But for my kids, you know, it strikes me that this is pretty meaningful for their growth, for their emotional growth, educational, and yes, even physical growth. You know, they've changed. They've actually grown while we've been locked away here. You know, kids at this age, they change a lot in 2 months. You know, all of which is to say that the hardest part, perhaps, of this whole episode, this entire pandemic, even though we've stayed healthy, it's just the wishing away of time, right? That wanting to and waiting for this time to pass, and, you know, not necessarily realizing as you're doing it that, you know, time isn't something that you can get back, that time still matters. And I think the news this week in the book business really makes that point too. But before we get to that, how are you doing, my friend?
Well, I am doing very well given the unusual circumstances, Andrew. Thanks for asking. And later today, Beyond the Book begins sharing a series of letters from Europe covering the latest developments in publishing related to the COVID-19 pandemic. Our first correspondent is Olivia Snage in Paris. You can hear her letter by finding us on Twitter at Beyond the Book. In the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, the book business was jolted on Tuesday morning with news that Simon & Schuster's CEO, Carolyn Reedy, had died from a heart attack. The news has left the industry saddened and reeling.
Yeah, it certainly has. And you can include me among those who are shocked and saddened. And, you know, not to make this about the pandemic, but, you know, when I spoke about the passage of time here, this is really part of it. Because how many people at Simon & Schuster, when they left their desks in March to begin working remotely, never for a moment really considered that they might not see Carolyn again? You know, for me, this is such sad news, and it's made even sadder by the fact that there's no guarantee that the world we're going to emerge to after this pandemic is going to be the same world we sort of left in storage. Time marches on, and I'm thinking today about our friends at Simon & Schuster who have lost a great leader, but also a friend. And, you know, they lost that leader without really not having been able to see her for the previous 8 weeks and not really being able to be with each other and attempt to, you know, sort of better process this tragedy. You know, I'm sure many of Carolyn's colleagues and me did not see her tenure ending at Simon & Schuster like this. We did not expect to lose her so suddenly. No one expects, I suppose, to lose their life so suddenly. And while the company will obviously deal with the aftermath from a business sense, so first and foremost today, here's to hoping our friends at Simon & Schuster can find some peace in the remembrances that are coming in from around the world.
And among the CEOs of the Big Five in publishing, Carolyn Reedy was the only woman, but she also stood out for steering her company through one of the industry's most turbulent eras.
Oh, you got that right. And I think all of this makes her sudden death all the more difficult to cope with, because she really was a fighter. She really was a rock. You know, she broke boundaries all the way. You know, she had worked at Simon & Schuster since 1992 and finally rose to the top job in 2008. And think about that year, 2008. In 2008, the Kindle was less than a year old and the ebook market was just getting underway. And Carolyn would, of course, play a key role in the move to agency pricing and in the lawsuits with Apple that would follow. In 2008, the Google settlement had just been announced in October of that year, I believe, which was, you know, that was a huge publishing industry battle at the time. And then, of course, the Great Recession hit. And right in the middle of all this digital disruption, we have this enormous economic, global economic disruption. So how is that for a welcome to the corner office for Carolyn Reedy? All of this happening within the first year of her taking the Chop job. But through all of that, through the slow growth sales environment and amid all the digital uncertainty, she steered SNS to commercial and critical success and pretty fast growth. In fact, Carolyn Reedy guided Simon & Schuster to 19 straight profitable quarters. That's a record for the company, a streak that only finally ended late last year. Now, on the PW site, you can read a number of tributes from Simon & Schuster employees, as well as from her counterparts from across the industry. And if you have some time, they really are well worth reading over. And, you know, I personally remember 2017 as being a very special year, because that year, Carolyn Reedy was part of Frankfurt's CEO panel. And she was also named PW's Publishing Person of the Year. And wow, what a year it was, right? Reedy was in high spirits as she headed to Frankfurt, because that October, Simon & Schuster had scored an impressive coup. 8 of the New York Times bestseller lists featured Simon & Schuster titles in its number one slot. That was for the week of October 8th. And that's simply an astounding feat. And to celebrate, Simon & Schuster publisher John Karp told Publishers Weekly that Reedy held celebrations on every floor of the building across all departments. And she included everyone and visited each floor personally, because she wanted to emphasize that that success, astounding as it is, was a truly group effort. And Karp said that, you know, that was just an example of Carolyn's generousness and her active spirit of leadership.
Well, you mentioned there, Andrew, that you came to interact with Carolyn over the years, got to know her a bit. Do you have any special memories to share?
You know, I did know her a little bit, not terribly well. You know, she obviously was a very busy person, but she was always generous with her time and insights, you know, especially to me from a reporter's perspective. But there are some memories that I will always have. And probably the best is 2009, when Carolyn and I, in the fall of that year, were part of a group of publishers that were brought to Paju Book City in Korea for their annual publishing conference. We were together for 4 really fun days. We shared our meals together. Carolyn's husband, Stephen, was with us as well. And, you know, I just remember how much fun we had, how much we all learned, and how open she was to sharing what she knew with everyone and the discussions that we had. How open she was about the future that she was facing leading Simon & Schuster through this digital age. And shaping Simon & Schuster for that digital age. You know, and I went back to look at my photos when I'd heard that she passed away on Tuesday morning. And lo and behold, I don't have them. They're in my office. They're locked away in my desk in my office. I have a whole bunch of them. And when I finally get back to my office, I do plan to look through them and really sort of recall some more of those moments. And another memory that still stands out for me was from 2017 at the Frankfurt Book Fair CEO talk. Now, I was one of the interviewers, but the moment I remember was not for me. The moment I remember most was from my colleague, Carla Carreño, from Published News in Brazil and now in Spain. Now, when we do these talks, each of us from the Pub Magnet group, we interview the CEO as a collective, and we're each given subjects to ask about. And this is so the various questioners don't, we don't take each other's questions, right? So we don't all ask the same questions. Well, Carla was tasked with asking Carolyn about competition, you know, competition for readers' attention in this digital environment, which was a great topic, especially in 2017. But Carla really wanted to talk about gender equality. So he got up to ask his question, and he asked Carolyn whether the publishing world would be more competitive if it had more female CEOs. Well, Carolyn laughed. The whole room kind of laughed. But it was a good question. It was a serious question at the heart of it. And when the laughter died down without missing a beat, Carolyn responded. Clearly, she said.
Carolyn Reedy loved good books, obviously, and that seems to be true all around the country right now.
Well, we can close on a more uplifting note this week. Book sales appear to be hanging on. You know, and this is really something because unit sales of print books continue to defy expectations. The expectation that the coronavirus crisis and all these closed bookstores is going to lead to a plunge in print book sales. In fact, so far, just the opposite has been occurring. Last week, unit print sales of books had their second consecutive week of double-digit growth over the previous week. And these are from outlets that are reporting to NPD BookScan. Now, again, bear in mind, these are print books. These are not ebooks. And getting to the numbers for the week, unit sales were up 10.5% over the prior week, and they were up 9.9% the previous week. Now, all four of the major categories showed increases. In fact, adult fiction, which has been lagging in recent years, had a 14.7% increase. Adult nonfiction was up 10%, this over the previous year when we didn't have a coronavirus crisis. So this is really, really something to see. So, you know, through the first week of May, the industry, despite a historic pandemic, is still on pace for what looks like a good year.
And Andrew, do you believe it will be a good year, or is there a shoe out there possibly to drop?
Well, yes, I think there almost certainly is a shoe that's out there to drop. And we've done great work, obviously, keeping things where they are. But I think there's probably actually many shoes out there that are poised to drop. For one, you know, there may be a lag in reporting. But even so, the numbers are astounding. So whether or not the numbers are entirely accurate, you know, an increase is always better than the alternative. But what's not clear is the long-term impact this pandemic is going to have on the landscape of bookselling, especially the indie booksellers out there. Because what we know from earlier reports is that many, many booksellers have been laid off or furloughed or otherwise gone out of business. And as my colleague Ed Nwaka reported this week, Barnes & Noble now has about 30 stores open nationwide, and that could expand to like 50 in the coming weeks. So we could see even more sales coming. But it all depends on how quickly we get back to business here, right? Or in like Wisconsin or possibly in Michigan, whether or not these stay-at-home orders are going to be struck down by the courts and people are going to start taking matters into their own hands. But you know, all that said, I still have to give high marks to publishers who have shown a real capacity for embracing digital marketing. You know, they always have somewhat, but this has really forced them to be creative, especially Penguin Random House, which my colleague John Marr recounts in an article this week. In fact, you can check out that piece on PRH's digital efforts on the Publishers Weekly site now. It's really quite something to see how well they've done taking to the web to market their books. And all of this gives me a lot of hope that when this is finally over, then not only can we restore the indie bookselling landscape that's really taking a hit here, but the entire book industry, the entire publishing industry is going to actually benefit. And this includes libraries too, from the expertise that publishers are gaining during this time when they're being forced to try new things and forced to try to find new ways to reach consumers.
It's a great point. Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly senior writer, and thanks for making it here on Beyond the Book and for joining me today and every Friday.
My pleasure as always.
Copyright may not save your life in an emergency, yet the nourishment from fiction and nonfiction alike is welcome indeed during life in lockdown. Glenn Pudelka is currently the president of the Copyright Society of the USA and a senior counsel in the Boston office of Locke Lord. As the world struggles to control the COVID-19 pandemic, he says IP may be more essential than ever.
You are still seeing people looking to register their works, still looking to protect their works. In fact, often in these types of crises or economic downturns, that's when clients and content owners look to protect what they have even more. They're looking to ways to generate revenue or maintain revenues. And so they look to their lawyers to help them protect things.
Copyright takes on the coronavirus. Next on Beyond the Book. Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center. Our co-producer and recording engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. Subscribe to the program wherever you go for podcasts and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. The complete Beyond the Book podcast archive is available at beyondthebook.com. I'm Christopher Keneally. Thanks for listening and join us again soon on CCC's Beyond the Book.